Okay, thank you for joining us. Let's start with an interesting halacha. The halacha is that women, there's a custom that some women don't do work on Rosh Chodesh, which is a little bit curious because it's a thing that you don't want to tell your wife because that means, you know, every month she's going to say, oh, sweetheart, I'm not doing halacha today, I'm not working today, you have to do everything for me today. So where does that custom come from? So there's a sefer, the Tur, who says, I'll tell you where I think this might come from. It comes from a historical precedent. He says from his brother, the Tur says, I heard from my brother the following, that every one of the holidays is parallel to one of the Avos. Pesach is connected to Avraham. He brings a Pesach to prove that Pesach is relating to Avraham. Because when Avraham made the bread for the angels who visited him, it was Pesach and there were matzahs. Fine. Shavuos is parallel to Yitzchak, Sukkot is parallel to Yaakov, we don't have to go into why. And then he says, and the 12 Rosh Chodeshes are also Yamim Tovim, and the 12 Yamim Tovim of Rosh Chodesh are parallel to the 12 Shvatim, to the 12 tribes, to Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehud, etc. And then when the Jewish people sinned at the Egel, which part of the Jewish human population did not sin at the Egel? The women didn't. So the significance of the 12 tribes, I'm sorry, that which the 12 tribes had Rosh Chodesh sort of in honor of them, since once they sinned at the Egel, it was taken away from them and it was given to the women. And because of that, the women have Rosh Chodesh as their holiday, their private holiday, not like the men, because the women were the ones who didn't sin at the Egel, and therefore Rosh Chodesh was given to the women. That's the story. Now, I want to take one small point out of that that I'd like to understand. What does it mean that Pesach is representative of Avraham Avinu? What is it about Pesach that makes Pesach uniquely representative and uniquely associated with Avraham Avinu? That's the question. That's question number one. Question number two. The Gemara in Shabbos that we learned Chanukah time asks the following questions. What happens if a guy is low on cash and he can't afford Chanukah candles and Kiddush wine? So which one is he supposed to choose, Kiddush wine or Hanukkah candles, if he can only afford one? Well, let's think for a second. What rule do we apply if there are mitzvahs, I have to figure out which mitzvah to do first, and one is more often, one is less often? What rule do we apply? What's that? Right, the one that's more often. Tadir, v'she'eno tadir, the one that's more often. And therefore, which is more often? Kiddush is more often. So maybe you should make Kiddush with the minimum resources that you have. On the other hand, maybe Hanukkah candles are better because Hanukkah is Pirsumanisa. It has a unique quality that you're spreading, spreading the word of God, spreading the miracle, and that's something that Hanukkah candles have and Kiddush doesn't have. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara concludes that Ner Hanukkah is better, is more important because of Pirsumanisa. Kiddush does not have Pirsumanisa, even though it's more common, but Hanukkah has Pirsumanisa. So to be Mefarsim, to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah, that comes first. And therefore, limited resources, you buy Hanukkah candles. That's the halacha. That's what the Gemara says. Now, gentlemen, I want to ask you a question. What was the greatest miracle of all of history? Bigger than splitting of the Red Sea. Much bigger. Much bigger than the Mun. Much greater than giving of the Torah. How about the creation of the entire world? The creation of the world is the greatest miracle. Hashem took nothingness and made it into something. When he took yesh and made it into, he took ayin and made it into yesh. He took, things that non-existence and made it into existence. That was the greatest miracle of all time. Greater than splitting of the sea, greater than Yetzias Mitzrayim, certainly greater than Hanukkah, certainly greater than Purim. So why in the world did the Gemara say that you should do Hanukkah more than Kiddush? Because Hanukkah has Prisumanis, you're publicizing the miracle. Hello! Kiddush is publicizing the biggest miracle in the world. Kiddush is publicizing the miracle of the creation of the world. That's what we say when we make Kiddush. We say that Hashem created the world in 6 days, rest on the seventh. This is the question of the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer was a Sachet Shava Rebbe who lived in Europe, I guess, about 100 some odd years ago. And he asked this question. Why did the Gemara say that Hanukkah candles take precedence because of Prisumanisa? To the contrary, Kiddush is the greatest Prisumanis. You're telling everybody that God created the world, which is the greatest miracle. That's the question. You hear the question? That's the question. So, maybe you'll say, you know what you might say? Why would you, you'd say maybe, you know what, Hanukkah's different because Hanukkah's just for who? Who's Hanukkah for? It's a miracle just for the Jewish people. As opposed to creation of the world, it's for everybody. So we only do Pirsum Anisa. It's only Pirsum Anisa if we're focusing on the Jewish people. The Kiddush is for everybody, so we don't have to publicize it. It's for everybody. But that's not really true. Because who is the world created for? The creation of the world was for the Jewish people, the Torah. In fact, it's hinted in the first word of the Torah, the word Bereishis. If you look at Rashi and the word Bereishis, you know what Rashi says? Bereishis, for Rashis, for the Jewish people who are called, based on a pasuk somewhere else, Rashis. For the Torah, Bereishis, for the Torah, which somewhere else is called Rashis. So we see from that that the creation of the world was for the Jewish people, so too Hanukkah is for the Jewish people. So why should we have Pirsum Anis? Why should we commemorate, you know, Hanukkah is so great because it's Pirsum Anis, so is every Kiddush. Whenever you say Kiddush, you're also publicizing the miracle. What is it about Kiddush that for some reason is not publicizing the miracle? Now, I want to ask you a question. Where else do we have a mitzvah that's involved with publicizing a miracle? What other mitzvahs are involved with publicizing a miracle? What other mitzvahs besides Hanukkah? Purim, of course, and there's one more actually. The four cups of wine. What are the only mitzvahs that are for halach of Pirsum Anisa, for publicizing the miracle? It's reading the Megillah on Purim, it's lighting the Hanukkah candles on Hanukkah, and it's drinking the four cups of wine. And that's why, gentlemen, there are only three places in the world where we apply the Gemara that we learned yesterday, Af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, that even if it's a positive time about mitzvah and women are usually exempt, but if Af hein hayu ba'oto hanes, if they were in the miracle, then they get obligated also. But when do we apply that? Only for when the mitzvah is a Pirsum Anisa. When do we apply Afin Hayubot Oneis that women have to light Hanukkah candles? When do we apply Afin Hayubot Oneis that women have to participate in Purim? They have to read the Megillah. When do we apply Afin Hayubot Oneis that women have to drink four cups of wine? And that's also, by the way, the only places in the world that you ever, even if, what happens if you're very poor and you can't afford tefillin? What do? You borrow, and if you can't borrow, you're exempt. That's correct. What happens if you can't afford a lulav and esrog, right? We saw Rabban Gamliel, and the Gemara in Sukkah told us Rabban Gamliel had to buy a lulav and esrog for $500,000 to $250,000. What happens if a person can't afford a lulav and esrog? What does he do? Well, if he could borrow one as a matana manas lahachsir, that's great. If not, then he's pater. However, there are only three mitzvos that you have to sell the clothing on your back. What are those? Hanukkah candles. No? Well, that's true. You're obligating all the wealth that you have, including the shirt on your back, when you sign the ksuva. But as far as a mitzvah that you have to even sell your clothing, sell the shirt on your back so you can fulfill the mitzvah, it's only Hanukkah candles and four cups of wine. And I guess Kriyas HaMegillah, I don't know, I assume also something like that. That means that there's something unique about this genre. Anything that's a mitzvah that's Pirsum Anisa, then that's the mitzvah we say Afin Hayibot Anes. Anything that's for Pirsum Anisa, that's where we say that you have to sell your clothing. So if that's the case, you know what we might be able to say to answer our question, how come Kiddush is not fulfillment of Pirsum Anisa? Maybe, who do you light the Hanukkah candles for? Who has to see it? The world, the people on the street. Well, when you do the Dalet Kosos and you show the miracle of Yetziat Mitzrayim, who do you do the Dalet Kosos with? Well, it's the family, the people there, the children specifically, the children and grandchildren, because it's the fulfilling the mitzvah of telling your children, teaching your children and your grandchildren. When you say Kiddush, who are you saying Kiddush to? Yourself. No, you're saying Kiddush to yourself. This is the Avnei Nezer's answer. Kiddush is only to yourself. Therefore, yes, it's a testimony that God created the world in 6 days and rest on the seventh. It's a testimony that Hashem created the world. It's a commemoration that Hashem created the world. But it's not a teaching. It's not a publicizing of the miracle. And therefore, Kiddush is not Pirsuma Nisa, even though it talks about and it references a greater miracle, the greatest miracle, the creation of the world, which is the greatest miracle, but it's not to publicize the world. It's not to publicize the mitzvah. It's not to publicize the fact, I'm sorry, that Hashem created the world in 7 days. So if that's the case, that Kiddush is only for yourself, but there's no point in publicizing it, why is it? We have a new question now. Why is it that when there is a nace of Purim, you have to let everybody know? When there's a nace of Chanukah, you have to let everybody know. But the nace of the creation of the world, for some reason, you don't have to let people know about it. You say it for yourself, you commemorate it, you remember it, you recite Kiddush for yourself, but you don't have to tell everybody. In fact, by the way, you know why you have to sell your clothing for these two mitzvahs? For just for your 4 cups of wine and for the Chanukah candles, you know why you have to sell your clothing? So the Avnei Nezer says something incredible. He says, every other mitzvah in the world, what happens if you want to do a mitzvah and you're not able to do it? What does Hashem consider it? You really want to shake a lulav, but you just don't have a lulav. You really want to put on tefillin, you just don't have tefillin. You're in prison, you don't have tefillin there. So Hashem considers it, if you want to do a mitzvah and you're unable to do it, Hashem considers it as though the thought that you had to do it is as though you fulfilled the mitzvah. When does that work, gentlemen? That only works if the mitzvah could, that the thought could be as though you did it, if the mitzvah is for yourself. But if the mitzvah is for other people, the whole point of the mitzvah is to publicize it to the world, so it's not going to help if I say it's as though you want to do it, it's as though you did it, it's considered as though you did it, because the whole point of the mitzvah is that you publicize it to the world. Therefore, any mitzvah that you publicize, that the whole point of the mitzvah is to publicize to the world, what do you do if you don't have enough money to do it? You can't just say, I hope I want to do it and Hashem will consider it as though I did it. The only way you could do, the only thing you could do is you have to have, sell your coat, sell your shirt, so that you could publicize it to the world. Because that's the whole mitzvah of Pirsuma Nisa. That's why those mitzvahs uniquely, not any other mitzvah, but only the mitzvahs of Pirsuma Nisa, do you have to sell your coat, because only there, it doesn't help to want to do it, and Hashem will consider your wanting as though you did it. Because the whole point of this mitzvah of Pirsuma Nisa, like Chanukah candles and like the 4 cups of wine, is to spread it to the world. If you didn't spread it to the world, you did nothing. Your thoughts are great, but it does nothing. Because it's not what the mitzvah is. That's what the Avnei Nezer says, the Sacha Chava Rebbe. So now, let's go to the second half. The second half of what I want to talk about today is why is it that there's only a mitzvah to publicize these miracles of Purim, Chanukah, and Yetzias Mitzrayim, but there's no mitzvah to publicize the miracle of Bria Sa'olam, of creation of the world. So I want to tell you, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that we say in Hallel. Ram al kol goyim Hashem. Hashem is high above all the nations. Al Hashemayim kvodo. Hashem's kavod is in the heavens. And then we say, who's like Hashem, our God, who sits all the way up in the heavens, and then Hamashpili lirot. Somebody who comes down and looks, Bashamayim va'aretz, all the way down on the ground. What are we saying? We're saying that the Goyim see Hashem where is Hashem sitting for the Goyim? For the Goyim, way up high, in the heavens. But with the Jewish people, where do we see Hashem? Bashamayim uva'aretz, down here also. Meaning, there's a fundamental difference of how a Goy sees God and how a Jew sees God. The Goyim see God as up in the heavens, the all-powerful being who created the world, perhaps, but he's up there. A Jew sees God no less than that, but God doesn't stop in the heavens. God comes down to our own lives. God interacts with us. God runs the show. He's that master puppeteer who's pulling all the strings and making all the things happen in our life that make a difference to you and me. That's how a Jew sees life. There's an interesting perspective. There's a sefer called Chovos HaLevavot. Chovos HaLevavot, who, he lived in like the 1100s, maybe the 1200s, I think like the 1100s. And he has a section in his sefer of, in the beginning of his sefer, proving that God exists and proving that, you know, the basic tenets of Judaism. I said something interesting. Let's say he's talking about a world where, you'll see why he gives this example. Let's say you have a field. And right next to your field, you have a water, either a mill or a water paddle that sort of irrigates your field. You have a little house attached at the edge of the banks of the river, and coming out of that house is an axle that goes from side to the river to the other side of the river, and there's a big paddle attached to that axle that goes round and round with the flow of the river, and it pushes water through these irrigation channels and it irrigates your river. So if you would show somebody this paddle that's turning around and around and around and irrigating your field, and you would say, you know what, I bought this field, and just all of a sudden, this water, whatever you call it, this water wheel, you know, popped into the air and started, you know, irrigating my field. So that's absurd. Obviously, it didn't just pop into the air. Somebody engineered it. Somebody constructed it. Somebody planned it. Somebody set it up. If I show you a piece of paper that has some writing on it, and somebody tells you, oh, you see this piece of paper with writing? There was a bowl of ink. It fell. It splattered. And look, it wrote a poem with a splattering of ink. So the Chovetz Chaim says, obviously, those are absurd statements, because if you have a, you know, if it's clear that somebody had to build the water wheel, certainly the wheels of the orbit of the world, where all the Earth orbiting about here, and this galaxy around that galaxy, and all the planets, obviously somebody had to set that up equally. If to irrigate a little field you need somebody to build it, certainly you need somebody or some power to create the world. Obviously, if you have a writing on a piece of paper, somebody had to create, you know, had to write that. So what's his point by bringing these two examples? The point that he's trying to make with these two examples is to show that believing that God created the world is a little bit obvious. It's true, there's a guy, Stephen Hawking, who thankfully died a few days ago. He's a terrible person, and he was a big believer in nothingness, and, you know, no God ever created anything. Fine, but he was a terrible person and a terrible heretic, even though he might have been a good scientist. But to believe that there was a creator of the world is not a Jewish idea. Anybody with half a brain could realize that some power had to create this world that we live in. So what does that leave us with? That leaves us with something else. The idea that Hashem's still involved in our world and runs our lives, that's a totally different story. Let me tell you a beautiful, beautiful idea. If you remember in Bereishis, Yaakov Avinu has a fight with the Malach. The Pasuk says that Yaakov is passing over the river in the middle of the night. He's going to rescue these tiny vessels that he forgot on the other side of the river when he was moving. Pachim Ketanim, right? The small pots, small bowls. And he's attacked by the Tsar, the Malach of Esav, and they fight. And ultimately, the fight is that Esav ultimately grabs his Gid Hanasha and injures his leg, and Yaakov limps away. So the Torah says that Yaakov was left by himself, and the angel, you know, going back for his vessels, and the angel, you know, attacks him. And the Gemara says, why was he going back for these little pots? If you dropped a nickel, you're not going to, you know, stop your moving truck, turn around, go back, and risk yourself in the middle of the night to pick up the nickel that you forgot. So the Gemara says something interesting. He says that tzaddikim love their money more than they love their safety of their body. That's what the Gemara says. Gemara Chulin Tzadi Aleph. What does that mean? Tzaddikim? I would think the contrary. Tzaddikim love, you know, want to take care of their body more than they love their wealth. Let me tell you something very important. You know what it means that tzaddikim love their money? It doesn't mean that they want money. That's not what made them a tzaddik. But tzaddikim love their money because they realize that everything that God gave them with a mission. They realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has hashgacha, is providential in their lives. Everything that they have, Hashem gave it to them with a reason, with a goal, with a mission, with something to do. If that's the case, if they're missing something, if they left something behind, they have to go get it. Not because they love money, not because they're money hungry, but because they realize that God wanted them to do something productive with that little piece of wealth that he gave them, and if they lost it, they have to recover it so they could fulfill what God wants them to do in the world. Listen to this. What does it mean that Yaakov was walking and the Malach of Esav, who is also representative of the Yetzirah, attacked him as he was getting these little vessels. So there's a beautiful pshat by Rav Yosef Salant from Yerushalayim. He says the following. He says, it's not that as Yaakov happened to be doing whatever he's doing, getting his vessels, and then at that point, oh, the Yetzirah found him and started beating him up and fighting with him. It's that because, not when Yaakov was getting those vessels that he lost, but because he was getting those vessels, that's why the Yetzirah attacked him. Because this is a gigantic battle, a symbolic battle between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the Jews and the powers of Esav and the Gentile world. The Jews believe that anything that Hashem sends us, anything that comes our way, there's a message there, there's a reason for it. And the battle, the Yetzirah is coming to say, no, don't be focused on the little things that God gives you. Hashem doesn't control anything. Hashem is not involved in the world that it is now. Yeah, maybe there's a God who created the world, maybe not. But certainly in the terms of involvement in our lives, in terms of that you have something, that you have responsibility, God gives this to you, God gives that to you, God gives something to something else, that's nothing to do with, you know, God. You just happen to have it. And that was really the machlokas. That was really the fight that was between Yaakov and the Satan, Yaakov and the angel of Esav. Was not just a fight that happened to be when he was getting those vessels, but because he was getting those vessels, that's what they were finding out, this philosophical idea. And we see something incredible about the fact that Hashem, for the Jewish people, and the fundamental of our belief is that Hashem's involved in very, very the very details of our lives. When do we talk, and this is a funny question with an even funnier answer, when do we talk about God's throne? When do we talk about God's throne, Kisei HaKavod? It's the highest level, the holiest thing that, you know, the holiest aspect of God, of existence. Yom Kippur, we talk about Kisei HaKavod? Much or more often than Yom Kippur. Much more often than Yom Kippur. When do we talk about God sitting on the Kisei HaKavod? More often than Rosh Hashanah, much more often. I'll tell you a hint. You referred to it, you referenced it today. Every single one of you, I'm assuming. Unless you're dehydrated. After we go to the bathroom, what do we say? Galui v'yadua. It is known and revealed, lifnei chisei chvodecha, before your whole high throne, your holy throne, that if you open up one of the openings, or you close one of the openings, what in the world are we talking about, asks the Gra. In the middle of Asher Yatzer, you're talking about the digestive functions and making sure everything is regular, no pun intended. You're talking about God on his throne, making sure that all of my body parts are opening right and closing and urinating and all the other stuff that's supposed to happen. That's what we talk about, God sitting on his throne. Says the Gra, you know why Chazal put that phrase, Kisei Kavodecha, into Asher Yatzer? Specifically to go against those heretics. Those heretics who say that God is not involved in such personal matters, or God is not involved in dirty or unclean matters. To the contrary, to show that Hashem, even from his Kisei HaKavod, you have all the greatest malachim and the Serafim and Ofanim and Chayos HaKadosh, the holiest of angels, and still not close to the Kisei HaKavod. Kisei HaKavod is much higher than all of them. And God, from that Kisei HaKavod, he looks down on what? On me going to the bathroom? Yes, that's the point of the bracha. So what we're trying to point out, the thesis that we're presenting, is that even though everybody, the whole world, might understand that, yes, there's a God who created the world, but that belief that Hashem runs the world, that's something that only the Jews have. Who's the one who started this belief that there's a God who's intimately involved in running the world, and not just believing that the world was created, perhaps, by a God? If you look carefully in the Rambam, when he describes the beginnings of Jewish history and the beginnings of and Avodah Zarah in the history of Avodah Zarah, he introduces Avram Avinu. And you know how he introduces Avram Avinu? Not that Avram Avinu was the one who discovered that there must be a creator, but that Avram Avinu was the one who discovered that there must be somebody who runs the world. Wow. So Avram Avinu's contribution to Judaism or to world history is that he let us realize that there must be somebody who runs the world, somebody who is actively involved in the world. Rabosai, what's the point of making Kiddush? We asked before, how come Pirsum Nisa you how come Purim is Pirsuma Nisa and Chanukah is Pirsuma Nisa and the Dal Kos on Pesach is Pirsuma Nisa? What about Kiddush? You're Kiddush. You talk about the greatest miracle of all. You talk about the miracle of creation. The answer is, my friends, that creation is something that everybody believes in. You don't have to. It's obvious. The world had to have come about somewhere with all the intricacies and the complexities of the world. Some intelligent designer had to design it. That's obvious. You don't even need to be Mefarsim that Nes. What Nes do you, yes, need to be Mefarsim as a Jew, as a son of Avram Avinu? The Nisim of Hashem being actively involved in the world. And that's why, and this is our conclusion, that's why Kiddush, it's not Pirsuma Nisa, because it's obvious that Hashem created the world. When do you need Pirsuma Nisa? Well, let's think. Chanukah, Hashem was involved. Purim, Hashem was involved. Mitzrayim, that was the greatest involvement of Hashem in the world in history. These are the areas, and all the holidays that we have really commemorate not just God creating the world, that's Shabbos, but it involved Hashem's activities in the world and providence and Hashgacha Pratis in the world. And that's why Pesach is connected to Avram Avinu. Because what's the idea of Pesach? Pesach is the single chag that we recognize that Hashem runs the world. More than any other holiday, it's that we were in trouble and Hashem got involved. Hashem got active in taking care of us. Hashem got so active, he even changed the course of the natural course of science and the natural course of physics, and he made the Aseres HaMakos, the sea split, and all the other things happen to get involved and to do Hashgacha Pratis in the world to make our lives the way they are, to save Klal Yisrael. And that is why Pesach is connected to Avram Avinu. Because Avram Avinu is the one who founded the concept of God, not just creating the world, but running the world. And that's the whole idea of Mitzrayim, of Yitzias Mitzrayim. All the mitzvahs, the Ramban says at the end of Parashas Bo, why do we have so many mitzvahs that are Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim? Forget about Korban Pesach with its dozen mitzvahs. Forget about Matzah. Forget about Mar. Forget about the mitzvahs Sipur Yitzias. Every night we have a mitzvahs of Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every morning we have mitzvahs Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Our tefillin is Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim. Why is it that everything is Zechel Yitzias Mitzrayim? Says the Ramban, because they're all to drill into our minds the fact that Hashem runs the world and Hashem runs every aspect of our life. And that recognition that Hashem is behind, there's no such thing as happenstance, there's no such thing as things happening. Everything that happens is the hand of Hashem running divinely provident, providing that Hashgacha Pratis, that providence to our lives. That's the whole point of Pesach, that's the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's what Avram Avinu figured out and expressed to the world. That's why Pesach is connected to Avram Avinu, and that's why Kiddush is not Pirsuma Nisa, and that's why you have to light Shabbat Hanukkah candles first, because Hanukkah candles, yes, it's a smaller miracle than creation of the world, but the creation of the world doesn't need to be publicized. What needs to be publicized is all the things of Hashgacha Pratis, that Hashem is actively involved in the world. So hopefully HaKadosh Baruch should give us the ability this Pesach to see the hand of Hashem in our lives personally, in the lives of the Jewish people, and recognize that throughout all of history Hashem always was there, and He always was there for us. And I'll tell you something incredible. Today, my son was in Rome. It's now the evening in Rome now. It's still morning here. My son was in Rome, and he went to the Colosseum. Do you know who built the Colosseum? Do you know how big the Colosseum is? They sent me pictures on WhatsApp. It was gigantic. I didn't realize it was so big. 50,000 seats. That's like the Meadowlands almost? That's bigger than Shea Stadium. Shea Stadium's gone. Yankee Stadium. 50,000 seats. And who built it? The Jewish slaves who were exiled from the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. And do you know what money was used to finance it? The building of the Colosseum in Rome? The money stolen from the Beis HaMikdash. That's what my mother-in-law sent from Rome. I responded back to her on WhatsApp. This is another indication that B'chol dor v'dor omnu d'malenu l'chalas. Every generation, there are always those who try to destroy us. and here we are still alive and kicking. That's the message of the Seder, that every generation, they try to destroy us. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us from their hands to make sure that we're going to come through, we're going to win, we're going to be able to withstand all the travesties and tragedies and all the whatever else history might throw our way. We're going to be able to prevail, and that's the Hashgacha Pratis that we think about. So when we think about Pesach this year, it's not just a matter of doing the mitzvahs and remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim per se, but Yetzias Mitzrayim is the diving board, it's the jumping board for us to realize that every aspect of our lives, Hashem is Mashkiach, that every aspect of our lives, Hashem runs the show, and hopefully we'll have that recognition, and Hashem will continue to show His bracha and shower His bracha upon us.